Ugalik Igisiak, thank you very much for joining me.
Yes, thank you very much as well.
Now, you are one of the commissioners for the Pikilia Sorsuak Commission, and you came out with a report on Thursday on the Inuit vision for the future of the Pikilia Sorsuak. Tell me about why this region is so important for the Inuit.
Yes, I'm one of three commissioners. I was the international chair for the commission. Kupik Kleist from Greenland was a Greenlandic commissioner, and Eva Ariak from Canada was a Canadian commissioner. The North Water Plinia, the Pikiel Sosok area, has sustained Inuit for a very long time, and we would like to continue to benefit from its rich resources. So with climate change impacting the area, we felt the need in taking the lead in making recommendations on how Inuit could play a role in protecting and managing the area.
How do you see this working in practical terms? What would this mean in terms of the federal level on the Canadian side, and I guess on the Danish Greenlandic side as well?
Yes, the Kingdom of Denmark, with the government of Greenland, the Canadian government, with our Inuit organizations, Nunavut Tunuli Incorporated, and the Pikitali Inuit Association, as well as the government of Nunavut, should all have a role to play in discussing and negotiating with Inuit on how to monitor and manage the area. One of the things that ICC and the commission has said is that Inuit are there, are in the high Arctic. We are not going anywhere. So build up our capacity in terms of human resources and in terms of monitoring and managing equipment, so that Inuit who are already up there are informing our governments in what changes are happening.
One of the things that really caught my attention was also the second part of this kind of the opening paragraph in that press release, which talked about reinstatement of free movement for Inuit between these historically connected communities in both countries, in Nunavut and in Greenland. Tell me about why it was important to put that in the recommendations.
Since the government has started to play a role, a major role in Inuit lives, our travel across borders has been more and more restricted, especially around security concerns since 9/11. We do not have passport offices in our small communities. With these travel restrictions, it has impacted our family ties. It has impacted our cultural ties. And we would like to see more freer travel across the borders for Inuit as one people, because we'd like to reestablish the family ties. We'd like to relearn from each other on our cultural heritage. Make an impact, positive impact, for the area in terms of monitoring and managing the area on behalf of our respective governments.
How does it work right now? If you are an Inuit and you want to visit friends or family on the other side of Baffin Bay, what happens?
Number one, we have to have a passport. The Inuit have to have a passport. And then the community of Grise Fjord is the northernmost community in Canada. An Inuit from Grise Fjord would have to travel from Grise Fjord to Iqaluit, to Ottawa or Montreal, go overseas, go up through either Copenhagen or Iceland to go to Greenland. There's no direct flights or from the east coast of Canada to the west coast of Greenland.
And just to put this in perspective for our international listeners, the direct distance between Grisfjord and Greenland is just a few hundred kilometers.
That's right. They would have to travel through the south, go overseas, go back up to Greenland if they want to see family.
Do people use the ice bridge to travel back and forth, or do they meet each other somewhere like in the middle, where it's the, exclusive economic zone, but it's beyond the national borders of both Canada and Denmark?
There's been less and less because in respect their respective laws and regulations restricting travel. And they would like to see that those restrictions lifted or at least made more lenient so that we could reestablish family ties and be able to visit each other.
Now, have you presented these proposals to federal officials, and the territorial officials, as well as on the Denmark side, the kingdom, and the officials in Greenland itself?
We have made some overtures the last few months before the report was finalized to say that these recommendations were coming, and now that the report is finally released, we hope to work with government by lobbying them first and work with government in implementing the recommendations that we've made. We hope that the Kingdom of Denmark, the government of Greenland, the government of Canada, the government of Nunavut will see how, will recognize how we would like to work with them in terms of monitoring and managing the area on everybody's behalf.
Have you had any feedback from them in terms of how likely is this that they might start looking into this in the near future?
Yeah, the governments were aware that we were doing this work, and they were anxiously waiting for their final release of the report. And very formally, they are open to the discussions. Once we start hearing from the communities about how this might work and where it might work, then the governments will have to agree with us in terms of what the communities would like to see and by when.
So what do you see as a realistic timeline for something like this?
Well, one of the milestones in terms of timelines would be by the next ICC General Assembly, which is in July 2018 in Upernavik, Alaska, where we could hopefully report some positive progress in the recommendations in working with governments and consulting with our communities.
Great. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me.
Yes, thank you very much as well.